This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, how's everyone doing this morning?
Good.
Imagine that you are walking in a deep, dark, wooded area. And you can't even tell if it's daylight or night because the overhang of the trees is so thick and heavy, almost no light gets through. Not only is it dark, but imagine that you're lost. You wander around what seems to be the pathways, but it seems like you're going in circles. Everything looks the same, and you're convinced that you've passed the same place three or four times. Now, as you continue trying to find your way, the rustling sounds in the bushes around you start to make you really nervous. But you say, well, what if there's wild animals there? Or maybe, what if it's a really big snake who's sneaking around in the underbrush, making these rustling noises? And up until this point, you'd tried to remain calm, but when you start hearing the rustling in the bushes and the trees, you start feeling really nervous, and a feeling of panic starts to go through your mind. And then suddenly, the light breaks through the trees, lighting your pathway. The way out of the woods becomes clear, and it's closer than you realized. You just follow the sunlight along the trail, and you're out of the woods where you need to be. The world, before Jesus entered it, was a really dark place. There was a lot going on that was plainly evil. And the Jews, his chosen people, were constantly persecuted, even though a lot of times they brought it upon themselves, as we read in the prophets. But the world was a dark place before the birth, the life, the death, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus. But his coming and living among us brought light to our world. And as a matter of fact, that light shined a pathway out of the darkness. Those Old Testament prophecies heralded that his coming would be light in the world. And those prophecies were uttered hundreds of years before Jesus was actually physically born into our world. And today's passage that we're going to talk about that explains that light is from our epistle reading, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ, to all those in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the background, and this is on your outline, Romans is an epistle that is completely dedicated and devoted to telling its readers the gospel story. If you will note, if you read through Romans, I do not believe there is any mention in that epistle of how some people ought to behave to clear up disagreements between members of that church, like Paul frequently mentions. And one place that comes to mind is Philippians, where he's telling those two women to stop arguing with one another. There is not one place where there's any kind of correction offered. But Paul wrote the letter to teach the Roman believers about the gospel that had been the springboard into new life. The letter is thick with the basics of the faith. Paul wrote about cultures that rejected the Lord. That's in chapters 1 and 2. Paul wrote about the value of faith and how we were born in sin. That's chapters 3 and 4. He wrote about the value of repentance, the beauty of Christ's sacrifice in taking our place on the cross. So, let's find out how and why Paul's message in these first verses tell us how this story lights the way out of darkness and leads us into the light. Verses 1 and 2. Paul told us who he is. He's Paul, the former Pharisee whose life was changed from being a prideful braggart about his accomplishments in Judaism to being something absolutely and totally completely different. Not only was he a braggart about how accomplished he was because he had studied with the best rabbi, he was a persecutor of those who believed in Jesus. We read about that in the book of Acts, chapters 6 or 7, and then his conversion in Acts chapter 9. But Paul had been changed. So, he's telling us who he is. First, now, Paul, and according to his words in Romans, is a believer, a Christian, a follower of Jesus, a messianic Jew, if you will, who believed in his Messiah. But Paul says something more. He says he is a slave, a doulos, if you will. Paul has a master. He's not his own anymore. He is under authority. Paul is telling us that he was completely, totally, absolutely, comprehensively committed and obligated to serve Christ and no one else, period. He could do nothing but serve Jesus. In other words, he belonged to Jesus and Jesus alone. That's what a slave was. Now, slavery in that era was not the same as it was in our American history textbooks about the South and all the other places in the North, too, where people owned slaves. Wasn't like that. But when you were a slave, you still belonged to your master, although there were different terms of that relationship back then. But Paul, as a slave, belonged to Jesus and Jesus alone. So right there, Paul is telling us that he had been in darkness before, and now that he belongs to Christ, he was in the light. He had gone from darkness to light. Being a slave of the flesh and his own desires to being free and in the light of Jesus Christ. So that is Paul's explanation for getting out of the darkness, getting out of that darkened woods where he's running around in circles, trying to please all those people. Because in that era, if you were studying to be a rabbi, you were studying on how to make all of your fellow rabbis and all of your superior rabbis for whom you worked or studied happy. And he's now saying, the only person I have to please, the only one I have to please is Jesus. Folks, there's freedom in that. When you come to realize that you don't have anything to prove to anybody, that the only one whose approval you need to really be concerned is Jesus. Because if you're pleasing Jesus, he'll take care of all of those other people. We need to get that through our thick, hard rock maple skulls this morning. That when we please Jesus, we're in the best place we can be, and he'll take care of the rest of that stuff. Now, the next thing he said is that he was called to be an apostle. This is also on your outline. This is important because Paul didn't choose that job himself. He didn't decide one day to be the Lord's appointed messengers to the Gentile world. Paul didn't wake up one day and decide, hey, this rabbi gig is a bummer. I'm going to serve Jesus. No. It didn't happen that way. Paul was called. Again, he didn't decide one day to be the Lord's appointed messenger to the Gentile world. The Lord himself knocked down Paul on the Damascus Road and transformed Paul, who at that time was called Saul, but transformed Paul into the new man he would become. Paul was commissioned directly by the Lord himself. The commissioning was conferred and confirmed by Ananias of Damascus. You remember the guy who said, Lord, I don't want to go baptize this dude. I've heard a lot of bad stuff about him. He's been killing your followers. And then the Lord said, No. I know what I'm doing. Go baptize Paul. It's going to be okay. It didn't exactly happen that way, but it's more colloquial sounding that way. Later, he gets confirmed his calling by the brethren and the apostles in Jerusalem. You remember he writes about that and he says, well, it was a little tense at first when I went back to Jerusalem because they were all looking at me saying, whoa, who's this guy? But it worked out. So his commissioning was confirmed by the baptism from Ananias. And then when the apostles in Jerusalem said, yeah, the Lord has done something in this guy's life. He is different. He's a new man. He's found the light. Then Paul went out into the desert for a few years and had some training by the Lord himself. From that point on, what Paul wrote was scripture. He didn't write light extemporanea. Paul wrote things that Peter would later confirm was scripture. That's pretty cool. So the things he wrote about are still true. This is all important because apostles don't decide these things for themselves. You don't wake up one day, and he said he was an apostle, but you don't wake up one day and say, oh, wow, I'm an apostle. This was a work of the Lord in Paul's life that was conferred and confirmed by the legitimate authority that existed at the time. Yet, even as he humbly accepted the call, he held on to it tenaciously. In every letter, he introduces himself as Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He embraced this calling, yet he doesn't hold on to it pridefully. He embraced it because of who gave it to him. He was chosen by Christ. And here is another element that will lead us out of darkness into light. If we embrace who the Lord has called and appointed us to be, and don't try to fight it, don't try to run away from it, and certainly don't try to argue with God about it, because trust me, if you argue with God, you won't win. And embrace who He calls you to be. Embrace who He wants you to be. Embrace, walk in it, live in it, thrive in it. For who God through His Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit has called and appointed you to be, who you are and where you are. Embrace it. Now, why did the Lord pick Paul of all people? It was to set Paul apart for service to the Lord. The words we see in the verse, set apart, mean separated. This is to be moved away from the ways of the world and purified from the corrupting influences that put a wall between us and Jesus. Believe me, there is a wall between Jesus and the world. But the world wants to put that wall between us and Jesus. to keep us from getting close to the Lord. The world thrives on its own. And at some point, the world also feeds on its own. Because once you're no longer useful to the world, they chew you up and spit you out. You're no longer useful. You're rubbish. So, we are set apart to serve the Lord. Granted, this is a difficult status for us to maintain, considering how pervasive the world's influence is. Right? The world wants to draw you in constantly. Joshua and I were talking last night about how very gradually and slowly the soundtrack at the store where he works has slowly and gradually moved all of the traditional Christmas carols out of that radio soundtrack, and now you're hearing mostly Jingle Bells and Santa Claus is Coming to Town and all of the other things, and some that are a little bit more disgusting that I won't mention. And Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer is the mildest of those. But slowly and surely, the real meaning of Christmas and those songs that communicate that have been phased out. And it's not an accident. It is part of the plot by the adversary to lead us away from the light and back into that darkened wood. It's intentional. And the people who are deciding which music tracks to put on that program loop probably do not realize that they're doing the devil's work. At least I hope they don't realize it. Because if they realize it and they're doing it anyway, that means they're in more trouble than we realize or they realize. Anyway, it should be noted here that in Galatians 1:15, back to our scripture passage, Paul said he had been separated for this service from his mother's womb. Whoa, that's a deep statement, because that means that the Lord has called us to what we are supposed to do from even before the time when we were born. Way back then, the Lord had decided at some point, I'm going to have this person do this thing. And it's an eternal plan. So Paul says it was that long ago. And he's not making some weird declaration here that was some mysterious force at work in his life. He's telling us that God has a plan for all of us, and that plan has been in the works from the beginning. And that's a good thing. The fact is, Paul is letting us know here that from the very beginning, God has a plan for every one of us. And it is not God's intention to leave us walking through that dark wooded area, terrified by the sounds of the rustling in the brush. It is His desire that we get out of the dark woods and walk into the path of light. And He planned that from the beginning. So wherever you are in your life, right now, know that this has not escaped God's attention. He has not made an accident. As a matter of fact, it was planned from the very beginning. So rest and relax. We're in God's hands. He knows what we're doing. He is aware of our situation. It has not escaped His attention. And He's going to bring us where He wants us to go. So let God be God. Now, not only that, Paul is aware that everything that happens to us can be used to prepare us for our life's mission. It was no mistake that Paul was a Roman citizen living in Greek culture and educated by the finest rabbi. Because God knew when He called Paul, that all of that was going to become really useful. Remember when Paul was arrested in one of those towns? And he said, wait a minute, you put me in jail and you're going to beat me and I'm a Roman citizen and I haven't even been put on trial yet? And the Romans said, whoa, wait a minute, this dude's a Roman citizen, we can't do this. See, God planned that ahead of time. The immersion in Greek culture was intentional too, because Paul could relate to all of those people who were living in what is now modern-day Turkey and what is now modern-day Greece and all of those city-states. So he could relate to all of those people because he knew their culture. And he had all that learning from Gamaliel and the other rabbis. So he was an extremely educated guy, living and working in a culture with which he was completely familiar and moving about freely because he was a Roman citizen in Roman-occupied territory. So nobody could stop him. The gospel was advancing because of all of this stuff that was in Paul's background. And God intends to use everything in your background for good in your life. We may undergo some really pathetically awful situations in our lives, but they're intended, each one, to mold us into the people the Lord wants us to become in our service to Him. Whatever you have gone through, whatever situation you have endured, it's not for nothing. And Paul's telling us that here. He's letting us know nothing is wasted. And it's part of God's plan to get us out of the darkened forest and into the light. Now, in Paul's case, all of his past was for the cause of Christ and the expansion of the gospel. Paul would suffer a little bit, but he will also rejoice in his circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. This man is a man who had been in jail, shipwrecked, stoned, left for dead. And he's saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, what's the gospel? What is this message that would prompt Paul to be so willing to give up everything? And the Greek word is euangelion, which literally means good news, a variant of good herald, which is a messenger of good news. That's why a lot of newspapers are called herald, because they're telling you news. All of the things they have to say aren't necessarily good, but a herald is a messenger. Paul became a herald of this good news, but let's look further. The message isn't a concept. The message isn't a set of keys to wisdom. The message isn't the American dream. The message isn't a philosophy or psychology theory. This news, this gospel, is of God. So the message is a person. The message content is not a thing. The message is Jesus. The message is about Him, not us. It's a transformational message that changes everything where it takes root. The message is totally about God the Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Now in verse 2, Paul simply says that this gospel isn't a secondhand story improvised by the Lord because his first plan didn't work. Paul is telling us that it was from way back when. The message came from the prophets. It's not a coincidence that Moses wrote about Jesus, that Isaiah repeatedly wrote about Jesus, that David wrote about Jesus, and every other one of the prophets had something to say about Jesus, whether they named him or not. So no, the plan of the gospel was not a fluke. It was not a stopgap measure to fix the situation that was broken. Paul was spot on when he said, which he promised beforehand by the prophets. Verses 3 and 4. Concerning his son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Of course, God has lots of sons, because anyone who is trusted in Christ is a son or a daughter of the Lord. But Jesus was descended from David physically because he was of the seed of David through Mary, his mother. And legally, he was a descendant of David because his earthly guardian was Joseph, who was also in the lineage and the genealogy of David the king. Now, even though all the bases were covered on how Jesus would be in the bloodline of David, Paul tells us something that is vitally important to the process of the Lord delivering us from the darkened path. Paul tells us that Jesus is declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. This detail is declared powerfully in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. Jesus' resurrection from the dead proclaimed to us then and proclaims to us now that he wasn't simply a prophet. He wasn't simply a really wise teacher who could lead us to the enlightenment. He was and is God the Son, the one who delivers us from our sins and gives us eternal life when we believe. That detail is covered completely when he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven to take up his heavenly throne. Only God the Son, God in the flesh, could accomplish this task. And his resurrection cemented that reality for us forever. So let's move on to verses 5 and 6. Through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations, including you who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Paul has received the Lord's grace. He received his apostleship through Christ. Christ is the one who calls us and confers an office upon us. Then Paul gives us a humbling description of what the Lord, by his grace, told Paul to do. Paul was to take the saving message of Christ to the whole known world. Remember earlier when we mentioned that Paul was living in a Greek culture as a citizen of Rome? Remember that Paul was well educated by the standards of the time? This was the training and background Jesus provided Paul so he could take the gospel to those nations. So, we move to verse 7. This is simple. Paul knows that the people to whom he is writing the letter are loved by God. They're called to a new life, to be saints in the light. Then Paul gives them a blessing. We can't underestimate the power of a blessing. And I want to remind everybody, your words have power. You can either use your words to tear somebody down or build them up and bless them. So what is our lesson for today? God calls us out of our dark world. He gives us an identity. He gives us a purpose. He gives us life. When we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everything any human needs to have life, significance, a mission, and an identity. So this morning, let's call on His name and allow Him to breathe His life into us. This experience will lead us out of darkness to where we will always be in the light. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.